Coming your way live from a top secret location in Redondo Beach, you're listening to Aspel on the Esplanade on CHSR, HealthyLife.net Radio.
As a service to our listeners, this program is for general information and entertainment purposes only. CHSR HealthyLife.net does not recommend, endorse, or object to the views, products, or topics expressed or discussed by show hosts or their guests. We suggest you always consult with your own personal, medical, financial, or legal advisor.
But in the end, hello, everyone. Steve Aspel is really loud. Welcome to HealthyLife.net. Thank you for tuning in. I'm sitting here. This is Aspel and the Esplanade. We're in a top secret location in Redondo Beach, and I'm sitting here with South Bay J. Cruz, and we have a special guest who just dropped in, Brad Waller, former school board member. And hi, Brad.
Howdy, Steve. Good to see you.
And what do you do now? You're a volunteer for everything, but you're not elected right now.
I'm not elected for anything.
Not elected. Okay, but you are the man about town in District 1, that's for sure.
Oh.
Every time I go anyplace, you're walking down the street, you're always around. Today I'm driving up here to our top secret location in North Redondo. Oh, everybody knows we're in North Redondo. Anyway, there you are walking down the street. So I invite you in. So what's going on with you?
Well, I live in South Redondo. I work in South Redondo, so that's why you see me there all the time.
I know, but you're up here. We're a ways away.
Well, I had to deliver something up here.
So how you doing?
I'm doing well. My volunteering actually is lower than it used to be. I'm no longer on the board of the California State PTA that I used to be doing for 13 years or however many long that was. So when that ended, I got on the board of Keep the Esplanade Beautiful, and I'm doing stuff for them. I'm helping out the PV Audubon Society with their website. So I'm just like, hey, people need help, and they ask me, and I have a hard time saying no.
You're a giver. I know. Pam told me I'm too much of a volunteer. I've volunteered to too many things since I was like 20. So how's the Keep the Esplanade Beautiful going?
It's going good.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, we weren't able to do the fireworks this year for the 4th of July.
Mm-hmm.
But the Esplanade is really clean. I was just out there Saturday and barely was able to, you know, put a dent in a trash bag.
That started with Joan Irvine way back when, but I was still a councilman there. When we had if you remember back, and Jane Harmon got us all that money for to build the new sidewalk and the Esplanade, remodel it, and all of a sudden it's a beautiful new sidewalk, wider and everything, and people had their dogs start pooping on it, and I've had dogs for at least my whole married life. And it's easy to train your dog not to shit on the sidewalk, but they were. People don't care, but anyway, Joan started it, and we were down there all the time, my wife, my daughters, and everything. It's a good organization. But Jeff Ginsburg is now in charge of it?
Yes.
Okay. How many members do you have?
Right now, our board is maybe five or six people, but when we have cleanups, we got the Boy Scouts to come by.
I see that,
or Cub Scouts. And we had 15 people. I believe next month, Beach City's Health District will be
nice
coming out. And the month after that, it's likely to be the school district.
And the Boy Scouts, they're not from the beach area. They're from a ways from the beach, right?
The troop was a North Redondo troop.
Yeah, I'm trying to be nice and say it different. Okay, so that's very honorable. It was something funny when they built the new sidewalk and we had the grand opening and it was all so beautiful. And people said it's too porous because urine will soak in, which it did. Anyway, then Joan came up with that. And but do you find, I found it 10 years ago, the most of the debris, whatever you want to call it, was cigarette butts.
And it still is.
Yeah, it still is.
Not by volume, but by what I pick up, half the things I pick up are cigarette butts. The other thing is at the end of each of the avenues where you've got the benches, people sit there and they'll eat a lunch or a dinner and leave a bunch of stuff. So you can go there and pick up a bunch of food wrappers.
I know. Sometimes you want to say it's people that aren't from here that are doing that. That's not true. It's just locals. Everybody's dropping their trash. And It's a the dogs. They got to pee on every pole, every bus bench, and it just stinks. But it's my wife and daughter still show up once. They haven't shown up for a while. I remember when I just stopped doing it because I was lazy.
You got to wake up early on a Saturday morning.
No, I'm up. We get up. I was up at 3:30 this morning. In fact, I was at Beach City South District at 6:30 a.m. at the gym. We get up early. Decided politically, I decided to let somebody else take over. But I just noticed that the Boy Scouts do it, and then you have the school district going to help?
Yes.
That's amazing. It's a how many members do you have?
Well, what we're trying to do is we're trying to have every month sponsored by somebody, and that way they can come in and get a group of people. The USC Day of Service is doesn't fit one of our normal sweeps, but we've signed up to have USC alumni come by, and as part of their Day of Service, we're going to have a group from USC coming by. So, in general, we hope to have hundreds of people a year that are volunteering to help.
Nice.
The people that are working the actual nonprofit, between us board members and volunteers and committee chairs, is probably around a dozen.
Okay. When it was first started, it was like a dozen.
Okay.
But you get people out there, the Boy Scout troop. How many people do you have on a Saturday cleaning it up?
20.
Okay. So if you're listening in here and you don't know where the Esplanade is, it's in South Redondo. It's the only part of pretty much the coastline in Los Angeles County, well, not counting Palos Verdes, that doesn't have buildings on it. You have the sidewalk, and it goes down the bluff, and you get a beautiful view of all the ocean, and it's just a nice spot. That's the best spot in Redondo Beach.
It's my daily commute. I drive that way. I see Pam running along with a dog quite often.
Yeah.
So it's a place where you can go by, and you can drive PCH. Or you can drive Esplanade, and I'm not telling
drive
people.
The Esplanade, yeah.
I don't want to get crowded. Just drive 25 miles an hour. Be calm. Go slow. Relax. It's a good start to your day. It's a good end to your day.
I don't want to be the old man that I am now and say, yeah, "Get off my lawn." You got to get rid of those e-bikes. They don't stop for anything. You got to go slow. Kids on e-bikes are a menace. Now, I'm saying that because if I was at e-bikes when I was a kid, I was been a menace. I was a menace anyway when I was a kid, but they're riding like crazy. Yeah, you see Pam running the dog. She usually goes to the gym with me every morning. And believe it or not, I go every morning. But she comes home and runs the dog. See, I come home and pass out. She comes home, so she's in shape. And yeah, the dog needs running. And if you see her walking, that means she went to the gym. But if she's running, it means she ditched me. And that dog needs a lot of work. I walked a dog about 2 weeks ago, and people are asking me, where's your wife? Well, I thought she's not the one running. So you lost. We didn't lose it. We're not having the 4th of July fireworks at Avenue I.
Correct.
Okay, because the funding ran out.
Yep.
Okay, that's fine. I always thought it was fun to have them, but the Avenue I 4th of July party is still great. You don't need the fireworks so much unless, the funding comes back, and that's a lot of money.
Right, yeah. They needed 25% deposit last week, and we found out that we had funding issues about a week before that and talked to as many people as we could and saw what we could figure out what we could do, and it's like, well, it's just not going to make sense.
No, it doesn't. It looked good with the band standing there, a band. I say a band was Feed the Kitty, the band I try and help all the time. I love them, but with the fireworks behind them. But the people will still come down there and watch the listen to the music and buy a beer and take over the street without the fireworks. So I don't think it's a game changer.
Yeah, I'm hoping that we can put on a good party.
You're still going to put on a good party. With 4th of July and Avenue I, you don't need to have the fireworks, and especially for the cost. And you can't have one benefactor all the time.
Right.
So... anyway, so what else is going on with you?
Let's see. You mentioned e-bikes. I'm not doing anything with them, but it was just... you're right. There's something about maybe just the fact that we're in an affluent society and people are just buying their kids these e-bikes and not training them, not telling. It's like, I see kids without helmets. They're driving 25 miles an hour. It'll be interesting to see if Sacramento comes through with any more regulations on those, whether it can make a difference. I know our police did a bunch of training related to the e-bikes, but that's...
14-year-old kids do not give a damn what the cops say about their training. When I was a kid, we had mini bikes. Mini bikes, yeah. Little Briggs and Stratton, mm-hmm. and no brakes. And just thank God they didn't have e-bikes when I was a kid. That was just a wreck. But I consider them now, it looks like, again, back to the gym. We go to the Beach City's Health District gym. We leave there usually in the morning when the school's starting, and they come across Prospect. And I compare them to the bad monkeys in the Wizard of Oz. They're like, and they're just being kids. But thank God I'm not a parent, because you got to buy your kid a $1,500 iPhone and a $3,000 e-bike now. And you used to have to go buy a Schwinn, you know, Stingray.
Yep.
And no phones. And now parents are going to go broke. My kids are going to go broke buying their kids stuff. But, yeah, they took over. I was in Hermosa Beach the other night on Pier Avenue. Believe it or not, I'm too old for Pier Avenue. We went down and saw Pet Project. And... they were walking over there down Pier Avenue, which used to be a drive-thru street. In fact, Paul Hennessy once called Pier Avenue where the debris meets the sea. And he has a couple of places there. In fact, Paul owned the lighthouse when they filmed that La La Land there. Anyway, we're walking down the middle of the... What do you call it? Not a sidewalk. What do you call Pier Avenue, Jay?
Just the plaza. Yeah,
the plaza. Okay. We're dodging e-bikes. And these kids, and bless their heart, because it passed curfew, I think. And I was one of those kids that blew curfew and all that off. So anyway, there's like 50 of them. They're doing figure eights and donuts and taking over the plaza. I'm wondering... how these poor parents have no idea their kids are riding without a helmet. And those things do more than 25 miles an hour. So you mentioned that, and my golf cart's legally supposed to go 25 miles an hour. I've had it fine-tuned. It can go 40. In fact, going down PCH at 40 miles an hour is kind of fun, because it's like driving a go-kart. It's pretty fast, and you have to be careful because it steers fast. But, these e-bikes around town... on the Esplanade and Pier Avenue are pretty gnarly. But they're kids being kids.
Yeah.
Say, yeah, get off my lawn. It's kind of funny. Your kids have e-bikes.
Oh no.
They're too old for e-bikes.
Nah. Yeah, she's got a car now.
You don't have one? You have like three or four fancy cars
though. Yeah. I don't need an e-bike.
What kind of car? What's your yellow car, what's that?
My daily driver that pretty much everybody in South Redondo probably knows more than me is a 67 Chevelle SS.
All right. Yeah, I've seen it. Well, of course, I've seen it on Facebook, and I see you drive it all the time.
They'll hear it.
And what makes you a car guy?
I'm not exactly sure how that happened, because when I was in high school, I wasn't that much into cars. You know, I had a 69 Dart. You know, super exciting family sedan. But when I graduated from college, I was looking around, and it's like, I need to get a car. What should I get? And it's like, oh, I could get like this Buick Grand National. Oh, but there's no stick shift. I want a shift, so I don't want to get one of those. And I ended up getting a 67 Corvette convertible, 4-speed.
And a rich kid, are you? Okay, now I got it.
back in those days, it was $12,000.
Yeah,
just 20-year-old cars.
All right, gotcha.
And it was like, wow, this is a lot of fun.
Yeah.
And that was my daily driver for a number of years. But then I wanted like a ski trip car, and my Dart was dying, or too many things were going wrong with it.
Mm-hmm.
Engine was great, but power steering and brakes and transmission. So I looked around, and the Chevelle became my daily driver ski trip car. It's been to Salt Lake City, Taos, Mammoth, Tahoe, in the snow, up in all the ski stuff.
Oh, okay.
Four guys.
So you've had it forever.
I've had both cars for over 30 years.
And you work on them?
Yes. replaced both engines.
See, it's amazing. You're a computer guy. You're not really a mechanic.
I'm both.
I know, but yeah. that just doesn't go hand in hand. What's funny, all I know about cars, I want the key to work. Yeah, like my since you know engines, my 4-year-old Dodge Ram, 4.5-year-old, wait, let me back it up, 4 years, 2 months old, sucked a valve. Yeah.
Shouldn't do that.
It shouldn't do that, Mopar. So, thankfully, I mean, I was driving it. It just kind of drove a little funky.
Yeah, I lost once.
It sounded bad. I knew I shouldn't be driving it, but I drove it. And then I realized that the warranty was up. And the good news is I'm going to give a big plug for our buddy, Redondo Beach guy, lives in Irina. He owns two Nissan dealerships. Tim Hutcherson's his name. He owns Downey Nissan and Tustin Nissan. And he used to be part owner of downtown L.A. Dodge. So he sold me a Dodge. Or one of his guys did. And I was a Nissan guy for the last 15 years. My wife has a Nissan. My daughters have Nissans. And I had one. Just because local business. Anyway, in Downey. But the guy lives here.
Keep it local.
Yeah. So I'm driving the other day, a couple weeks ago, I went boom, 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 boom. It didn't sound right. But all I know is the key. We didn't have a key anymore, it's just electronic. So thankfully, Tim took it in to Downey Dodge, because he doesn't have a piece of downtown LA Dodge anymore. It only cost me $1,200. It was supposed to be like $8,000. And I was going to burn the truck, take insurance loss. I don't know. I was so pissed off. But see, you know what it was. I had no idea what that stuff was doing. Now, if your car sucked a valve and started making noise, would you still drive it?
Not as much.
Could you fix it?
Yeah.
Even a brand, 4-year-old Dodge Hemi?
I don't know about on the new cars. They've got so much electronics so and much so much stuff on top of the engine. With my car, it's move a couple things out of the way, undo 12 bolts, take off the cylinder head, take it to a machine shop. We still have a few of those around here.
So, you take out a few bolts. You sound like my orthopedic surgeon. Take his open his neck up, put it in there, take a few bolts. Yeah, it's amazing because I have a boat, keep at the Colorado River, and I had that engine I blew up too. But I got a new engine for that. But the mechanics all know that all I know is how to turn the key. And when it's 120 degrees of the river, you want that key to work. But I carry a toolbox just so I look cool because I don't know how to fix anything. This is so funny. But you can do that.
Yeah.
And if you're listening right now, you just obviously video. You are a computer guy. You're not, if I walked up to you, someone walked up to you in the street, they wouldn't think of you as being a what do you call it, bolt guy?
Mechanic type.
Mechanic. Mechanical. Yeah, there's.
No, I was a nerd. I was in high school. I was a nerd. College, I was a nerd.
I'm still a nerd. Don't worry about that. Yeah. It was stuff. It's funny. Yes, I see you drive your car. Anyway, I'm amazed. I'm always impressed with guys who can do their own mechanical work. And because on my birthday, on February 16th, I took a video, or I took a picture of my truck being put on a trailer at my house. I put it on Facebook. I think I might have went F Dodge or whatever, but I go, have a birthday present. But I had my truck towed out to Downey Nissan, a Dodge truck towed to Downey Nissan. So if you're looking to buy a car, by the way, go to Downey Nissan, ask for Tim Hutcherson, and say, Steve Aspel told you to go there, because they're great, great deals, great deals. And they're very honorable people. But they fixed my truck. I have it back. But what's your newest car?
We actually just bought a new car. My wife's 25-year-old Chevy Blazer was just getting old. And, so we just replaced it with a Subaru Crosstrek.
That's brand new. That drives an old souped up car drives a Subaru?
Well, my wife does.
You drive it once in a while.
I do drive. I'll drive it to the Kings game tonight.
You go to the Kings game?
I am.
My daughter's going to the Kings game. She's borrowing my jersey.
Oh, really?
I had, when I was back in some political office, I had, what's the mascot?
Bailey.
Yeah, Bailey showed up at City Hall and gave me a Kings jersey with my name on the back. And I won't wear it because I walk into the, what do you call it now? Not so.
Crypto.com.
I thought they were bankrupt too. Crypto.com. That you walk in there and they go, who's Aspel? Or effing played, you know, whatever. So, anyway, yeah, you go to the Kings game. Are you a Kings fan?
I do. I am.
You have season tickets?
I do. I've had tickets since 1987, I think.
Really?
Back when I was living at the Beachbrook Apartments in Redondo.
Beachbrook.
My roommate then at the time. He was from New York, went to Cornell. Found out we both liked hockey, and it was like, oh, they just traded for Gretzky. We should get tickets for the Kings. And so we got season tickets.
Was that 88 or 87?
I think it was 88 or 7, but I'm not sure.
Here's a trivial thing for you. When I was selling insurance, I wasn't in management. A guy knocked on my door, came in the office. I was at 225 South Sepulveda in Manhattan Beach, and now it's now Skechers Building. A guy walks in, young guy, 18 years old, with his dad, and his name is Jimmy Carson.
Oh.
And he came here from Detroit. He was a brand new King. And great kid. Great. He had a house on not far from our top secret location right now. So I insured him, his car and everything, and it was great. So fast forward whenever a year or two, and I'm in a houseboat on Lake Shasta. My boat? Anyway, I'm sitting there. We had the radio on, and the Kings had just traded for Gretzky. They traded Jimmy Carson, one of my best customers. So I lost two cars and a house because of Gretzky. I wasn't happy about the trade. That's why I remember Gretzky's trade. Jimmy Carson got traded for him. But you're a school board member before. You know, yep. one of your better teachers, her dad was at L.A. King.
Yep.
Tell you. Ted Turnbull, yeah, he's one of my great friends, and he has the record for the most goals scored by a defenseman in any game. Still holds up.
Oh, okay.
And he's sat in that chair before, where you're sitting right now. He when he was a Toronto Maple Leafs, he scored 5 goals in one game, which is a record. He's a defenseman.
That's a lot for anybody.
Anybody, and they called him the Hawk. And so one day, his daughter Taya, who's in her early 40s now, she was in AYSO with my stepdaughter Kristen here in North Redondo and we're at Paris school. And I would never sit with the parents. Even though I ref soccer and stuff, I can't stand parents. I hate parents of athletes. And most of them aren't athletes anyway. I was standing down far away from the parents, and this guy who's obviously better, stronger, bigger, whatever than me. And I'm talking to him, and he's a mortgage broker. And I was in the insurance business, and we just chatted for like hours on end and actually got to be good friends. We actually meet for a few glasses of pop or whatever. And, one day we're sitting in a restaurant bar, and it wasn't a restaurant, it was a bar, and some guy walks up, hey, Hawk. I'd known him for like 3 years before I knew he was a hockey player. And he said he liked me, we got to be friends because neither of us liked parents. And anyway, that's a, I don't know how I got off on that tangent, but yeah, one of your students, your teachers. Yeah, yep. She's great. In fact, on my birthday, the day my truck got towed, I saw her walking down Catalina. My wife and my daughters and my grandkids were to Hennessy's for breakfast, 2 for Tuesday. And then saw Taya out there. So anyway, that's a Trivia Pursuit thing. We got 60 seconds. So we're going to say goodbye. But so what else? Nothing special? Your business is good?
Business is good. Always could use more. But
You make websites.
We do websites. We do mobile apps. We've been doing stuff with virtual reality for the new Apple VR headset. Even do some artificial intelligence. New cool stuff.
The VR, is that white headset that people are, some people don't like and gives them headaches?
Well, that people are driving their Teslas in and riding it. They used to, when Google had their glasses, they called them the glass holes. Well, Apple, I don't know what their nickname's going to be for the people walking around with their $4,500 headsets are, but.
Really? What's going to happen in 10 more years when they're going to, AI takes over everything and no one's going to have a job? No, even cabbies will be out of work. No more Uber drivers.
You got to tell the AI what to do. Those are the people that'll stay employed.
You will. But guys like me that have no tech savvy,
you'll just use it. You're going to sit at home and ride your boat, have the boat.
I got to find a way to pay for it, though. That's the problem. It's just amazing. And anyway, so what else? Okay. We're going to have to break this off. We'll come back in 60 seconds. So how many? We're getting off the air, coming back after commercial. Be back. All right.
But in the end, there's just no place like home. Redondo Beach. Woo! One hell of a city. Help! And we'd like to thank the folks who feed the kitty.
The 1,200,000 women and men of Rotary have accomplished extraordinary things. They've taught millions of people to read, worked toward world peace, and have nearly eradicated a crippling childhood disease from the face of the planet. But each of those 1,200,000 women and men know they could accomplish so much more if only they were 1,200,001. Find out what an impact one person can make. Learn about Rotary at Rotary.org.
Got a minute? Get your daily news with a lighthearted twist. NewsWatchTV.com is your place to discover the latest trends, see the latest tech gadgets, and watch interviews from entertainment to technology and everything in between. Find them on the Discovery Channel, Ion Network, the Internet, but better yet, so you won't miss a trendy minute, subscribe to their YouTube.com NewsWatchTV channel. It's free, so do it now. YouTube.com/NewsWatchTV. The latest and greatest in trending news. Short and sweet, NewsWatchTV.com.
Shh! Over here. Here's a secret for a virus-free computer. ESET. They've been a pioneer in the antivirus industry for over 25 years. 25 years of innovative, top-rated antivirus protection. ESET's award-winning security solutions provide a safe online experience for over 100 million home and business computer owners. They are so affordable, fast, and simple to use. So be gone, you blue screen of death! ESET's on my computer. If it's not on yours, visit HealthyLife.net's advertiser page and click on ESET now.
If you're in Southern California, you might want to consider HealthyLife.net radio for advertising. We have 18 hosts that have shows with loyal listeners just in Southern California. That means you get local advertising and the world for the same affordable price. With packages for every budget, you can't afford not to let that economic sun shine in for your business. Call now, 1-800-555-5453. That's 1-800-555-5453.
You're listening to CHSR Real Radio on the web.
But in the end, there's just no place like home.
The Redondo Beach, one hell of a city. We're back. I want to thank Brad Waller, former school board member, for joining me. It was quite an impromptu. And that was totally unscripted, totally everything. And I went off the rails a few times. Anyway, so Jay.
Hey there.
Back to you.
What's going on?
Your band's playing.
We are Saturday nights at Speakeasy Tavern.
The Speakeasy.
800 PCH, South PCH.
That's right.
On Avenue A.
Unless there's a catastrophe. Yeah, it used to be what?
Avenue A Bar?
Avenue A Bar.
Something before that. I don't remember.
Oh, it was a French restaurant many years ago. And
yeah, my friend who played there last Wednesday said that was her first job in the South Bay. It was before it was Avenue A. It was like her first thing.
I can't remember the name. Yeah, it was. Anyway, we went there once or twice. It was good.
Yeah.
Obviously not good enough to stay in business, but it was good. Okay, you play at 8 o'clock till when?
8 to 11 on Saturday night.
And it's 5... Help me.
Five long years.
So.
Yeah.
Well, we'll probably. My wife said no.
Okay.
About not you.
Uh huh.
But that pet project.
Yeah.
The boys are playing. Where the hell are they playing? I'll look it up.
I know. I'll look up
at 2 o'clock or 3 o'clock on a Saturday afternoon.
Yeah, they're pretty busy. I know they're playing like five shows this week.
Yeah, they have a gig tomorrow night. at Tower 12 on Pier Avenue in Hermosa Beach.
Yeah, starting at 10 p.m.?
Guess who won't be there?
Yeah, it's late for a school night, that's for sure.
It's late for any time.
It is, even on a weekend, unless you're out already, you know.
You know, there's been a few times. Well, I was in Vegas a few weeks ago with the boys and all that, but and they started at 10. Wait, yeah, started at 10 till 2.
Uh-huh.
And when I go to Vegas, there's no clock.
Right.
But I...
So they hide that from you very well.
Yeah, they do. But I'm not going to go out. We don't start at 10 o'clock anymore. But, you know, you never know.
Oh, they're playing the afternoon at the new Starboard Attitude on the 9th.
That's why. Here's the... Okay.
3:30 to probably 7.
I'm sorry, I forgot that. There's a true story. The new Starboard Attitude used to be called a place called Holohan's.
Okay.
Not Houlihan's, but Holohan's.
Holohan's.
And this is 100% true story. A guy I worked with at Safeway.
Uh-huh.
I wasn't 21.
Right.
And his roommate was a bartender at Holohan's.
Okay.
And it was obviously, before I was 21, it had to be like in 1972, 3 or something like that.
Right.
And he would take me to Holohan's.
Wow.
And he said, I sat down, he goes, just don't act young.
Right. All of a sudden you're self-conscious. What's
I was.
Acting young? You know?
So the bartender was named Leon.
Uh-huh.
So I went to their house. And like five other guys rented a house on the Strand in Manhattan Beach.
Okay.
So I'm sitting around waiting for them to get their shit together.
Yeah.
And there's a $100 bill wrapped up in a...
Right.
By an ashtray.
Uh-huh.
And I'm a little Catholic school kid. I go, what's this? $100 bill. He goes, you have a lot of growing up to do, kid.
Yeah.
Now, I didn't do it. I watched him all use that $100 bill.
Right.
And I went to Holohan's, and on the way there, he goes, what do you drink? I said, well, I snuck in with a few other bars, but I drink a whiskey sour.
Yeah.
He said, do not order a whiskey sour at this bar.
Uh-huh.
Anyway, so you order a beer or a shot or something like that.
Yeah.
But it was not Holohan's. It was Holohan's, not Houlihan's.
Yeah.
Right by Tony's in the Pier. You know where it is.
Mm-hmm.
I went there, and I ended up going back there a few times with Pam.
Yeah.
Who was not, she was dating other people.
Right.
You know, and anyway, I wasn't with just her, the group.
Yeah.
But there was a band that would go there, and they're called Uncle Krusty and the Venice Canaligators.
Okay.
Now, I Googled them yesterday to send to Jed Motley.
Okay.
That's who I used to. They're a boogie-woogie band.
Yeah.
They played some Grateful Dead, a little Flying Burrito Brothers, that
All
kind
right.
of thing.
It's kind of cool.
Yeah, it was really cool. They were great. The guy that the lead singer played a harmonica.
Mm-hmm.
And he couldn't play guitar because he only had one arm.
Oh, well, there you go.
Yeah, so he played a harmonica. His name was a Hook. He wasn't Captain Hook, the other bullshit.
Just
he was
the Hook.
He was the Hook.
Uh-huh.
And I checked them out on Google. I think most of them are dead.
Yeah.
Well, they'd have to be 85 now. They were way older than me. But I'd go back there every Friday night for years because I got to see Uncle Krusty and the Venice Canaligators.
That's funny.
And I stopped going for whatever reason. I got older or whatever.
Right.
And, the bar at this place used to be, the bar was on the east side facing west.
Uh-huh.
And the band was at a great stage on the west side of the bar over the water facing east. Well, as Redondo's become more bunch of turd balls that don't like anybody to show up.
Sure.
This happened years ago. They made them, the people bought these condos in the village, condos above Starboard Attitude.
Right.
Or Holohan's, and they complained about the noise.
Of course.
Of course, I know. So
it's like, I'm going to move to the beach right by the pier and complain because these people are down there having a good time when I'm trying to mellow out.
Back in those days, that pier was a happening spot.
Yeah, yeah.
If you either drove to Westwood or Marina Del Rey maybe,
yeah.
But you drove to Redondo Beach Pier for date night.
Like, my dad used to work at the place right up the street from the top secret location that used to be TRW.
Exactly.
Back in the 60s. I remember going to a company picnic shortly before we moved to Northern California. Since he worked in Redondo, he'd hang out at the pier, you know, for happy hour before coming back to Anaheim, or sometimes not coming back to Anaheim. I was a little too young.
Yeah,
you know, him and my uncle, they were like, oh, my God, the Redondo Pier, the stories we could tell. And I'm like, well, let's talk. Tell some stories. I want to hear all about it. So to them, it was the happening place. I mean, enough where
it was a great place.
Dad would stop in for happy hour before he got home.
And now it's pretty much shittle. But anyway, the...
well, you got to love it, you know, there's some sentimental value.
Being a former local politician here, it's not... But because of local politics, we weren't allowed to rebuild it properly.
I know, that's kind of a shame because it's dilapidated as it was when it needed rebuilding when that was proposed.
And the locals think it's a bad place, but they used to have a restaurant bar. There was like three or four that were burned down or taken down by the storm and the fire, called the Cattleman's.
Mm-hmm.
My dad loved that. Went there all the time. Polynesian, Costanolges. I can't even pronounce it. Costanolges. But it was Hollahan's.
We went there.
And they have a, they can't remodel it because they don't have an elevator.
Yeah.
And there's no ADA now. You have these steep stairs. If you try to put more than X amount of money, dollars into renovation, you got to put an elevator in for $500,000.
Wow.
But yeah, I went there all the time, and there was a guy that we used to see there now and again. His name was Howard Kalin.
Okay.
And he played in a band called the Turtles.
Turtles, yeah. And he was also in Frank Zappa, ironically.
Yes, he was. Flo and Eddie.
Yeah.
But we, one of our friends is just a long story, but I knew him a little bit.
Uh-huh.
But we'll go into that. But it was, he'd be down there, and I got a ride down there with him twice.
That's cool.
And anyway, from Westchester.
And he was just an unassuming guy. Like, if you didn't see him on stage, you wouldn't know that he had this great voice and co-wrote Happy Together.
He was a best friend with my mom's hairdresser who lived with us and did other things. It was all good. Anyway, I'd go down. But it was, I told Pam, I'm going on Saturday no matter what. So I haven't been there too often. They you can't open the windows anymore.
Not when the band's playing, because someone's...
Well, these people, you know, when they bought their condo for $20,000 when they were 21 years old, and now they're 70, they don't want the, they get off my lawn, people.
I know, and it's so... It's just too bad. I mean, because if you're gonna move in there, you know, let the locals, the other locals, have their fun. Like the folks who... When they built the Giants' new ballpark in San Francisco, there was somebody living there. And all of a sudden, like, shut up that baseball game. You know, it's like Major League Baseball, and you're going to tell, you know. Like, San Diego has this one apartment building has these great views of Petco Park.
Oh, God, yes. Yeah.
It's kind of like Wrigley. You know, the people across the street, they're Cubs fans because they got great seats on top of the – But this one condo in San Diego, you know, the folks rent it out so people can come in and have this baseball experience and watch
Airbnb,
the game.
Airbnb, watch the game.
Yeah.
Yeah, but people in Redondo, get political, they got old, they bought their places, and they hate everybody. You make any noise. You can't fart down there.
I know.
And anyway, I'm going to go there. Going to go watch the band because I love it. I want to just see what it's like at Starboard, the new Starboard Attitude.
It's kind of cool.
I've been there a few times just with other people for a few drinks. My wife hated it.
Mm-hmm.
But I have fond memories when I was a kid.
Mm-hmm.
And it's funny. And so the people who live up there, those houses, those condos they paid $21,000 for.
Now paying $200,000. Easy.
No, they're paying like $2 million.
Yeah.
And they complained to me when I was mayor about the buses turning around and the right below their building. They bought a place at an urban, which it's even though it's on the beach, it's an urban recreation area.
Yeah.
And it's supposed to be a happy show. They don't like anybody, especially black people or brown people. And they don't like any music.
Mm-hmm.
And part of the reason, that's so funny. That's why I'm not mayor anymore, because I got voted out because I wanted to make that place better.
Yeah.
But But I'm going to go. I'm hoping it does really good. Start the new Starboard Attitude.
Yeah.
Even though it's the new, it's still been there for years. I just haven't.
Oh yeah, it's been the same Starboard Attitude my 22 years.
And Chantel, the bartender.
Yeah.
I've known her. I've known her for 20 years.
I've known her literally the
years. She's in my Rotary Club for a long time.
Right.
But it's a.
She's super into comedy.
Yes, she'd have comedy shows all the time.
Yeah.
So anyway, we'll go, but I don't want to say anything bad about the pier, because I do love it.
You got
Tony's and all those places there. But, it'll be fun. I'm looking forward to seeing, I don't know how they got the gig. Usually I know everything, but they're going to play.
Mm-hmm.
So hopefully, well, I don't ruin myself. We'll come out and we'll go see your show.
Yeah, it'll be a good, good way to kind of roll into an evening show.
Yeah, we will. So I told Pam, I said, I owe Jay a show after a while. And then the other thing with that, we saw Feed the Kitty or Pet Project 3 days in a row last week.
Yeah.
We don't do that.
Well, you went to the Vegas thing, which is pretty special.
Oh, that was great. That was really good.
It was just a lot of fun. And Road Trip and Rock and Roll, they always go together. So much fun seeing a band in a different town.
Well, the Sand Dollar
right.
Bar is it's should be in Guy Fieri's show. It's a Diners, Drives, and Dives.
Uh-huh.
The only thing they serve is pizza and booze.
And they probably get the pizza from elsewhere.
No, they cook it there.
Okay.
And the booze is like $5 for a double.
Wow.
I'm not kidding you. This is Vegas.
Yeah. That's a locals-only joint.
Yeah, pretty much locals only.
Yeah.
The band before was a Grateful Dead knockoff band. It was way fun. And then I said, they said, Pet Project, Jack goes, what should we start out with? I said, play Friend of the Devil.
Right.
They go, no, we're not, because I'm not going to offend dead people.
Yeah, yeah.
And I said, they'll love it. They wouldn't do it until later on. And then all the deadheads got up there and started dancing.
Mm-hmm.
But the pizza's really good. The pizza is outstanding, especially at 1 in the morning.
Yeah.
Really good.
That's when it really hits the spot.
But we got home from there. We got home in time on... Wait, that was that weekend. So we came home. So we went to our tent.
Right.
And saw Feed the Kitty.
Uh-huh.
And we end up going on Saturday night to Patrick Malloy's.
Okay.
And it was a 8 o'clock start time.
Last Saturday, that's right.
Yeah, so went to dinner with my old friend Mike Ball.
Well, okay.
I've known him since we were kids. And it was kind of all four of our birthday 2 months period, so we went to dinner.
Uh-huh.
And, we went over to Patrick Malloy's because we went to dinner down there because it was Patrick Malloy's. That's where I saw the kids on the e-bikes going crazy.
Yeah, yeah.
And we walked in there, and it was a different crowd than I usually see.
Mm-hmm.
And not all these young kids, and they all loved the band. It was great.
Nice.
And they were outstanding. And we didn't stick around. We always leave at halftime.
Right.
But I stay married for so long now because I know how to say yes, dear.
Yeah.
And she says, want to go home? We're leaving.
Happy wife, happy life.
That's right. I used to tell my other wife, no. That costs a lot of money.
Sure.
Anyway, so Sunday we went to HT. So
uh-huh.
3 days in a row. Well, Saturday was Pet Project.
Yeah.
And anyway, it was good. It was a little crazier there. So I don't know. Pam's not a 3 day in a row person,
mm-hmm.
especially for any band. So yeah. We'll see what happens this weekend. But I think it's R10 this weekend.
Uh-huh.
Friday night. I know you're listening. You are on, you have a gig Friday night, Jed.
To remind him.
Well, no, he didn't know.
Uh-huh.
Because they have a private party at R10.
Oh, okay.
And there's the outdoor patio might be a bit cold.
Okay.
So he put me in charge of calling them, and you got the gig. It's this Friday night, your normal time. You better bring 25, 30 people. That's what. And by the way, speaking of the bands, Jack, remember last year he sang the national anthem?
At the Dodger game.
Yeah,
absolutely.
He did. So now he got May 26th.
Yeah.
He's doing the national anthem for the Angel game.
Oh, boy.
Yeah.
Now for him, I know he's a little happier about that because he lives in Orange County. And
they play gigs for the Angels.
Yeah, they've done stuff with the Angels. And I know we were talking a few weeks ago when they were playing at Project Barley in Redondo on the pier.
Mm-hmm.
Again, another good show to see them.
What's that with you?
I don't know. It was maybe it's different week.
I don't know.
So
okay.
I played there a couple times. I don't think you were there that night. But, you know, Jack was talking about, you know, Ohtani now being with the Dodgers and just he was saying how last year if he had a night off or a day off, he went to an Angels game if they were at home.
Yeah.
And just, you know, especially if Ohtani was pitching, you know, just...
Well, he's not pitching anymore.
He's not doing that. But yeah. It's just, Jack and I have this real deep love for baseball more than, other people like other sports. Okay. He's like, I know he's a super huge baseball fan. And like he had told me before the Dodger national anthem, he wanted to get a Dodger jersey. And he mentioned the number, and I'm like, oh, Tom Niedenfuhr, who gave up the home run to Jack Clark. He wanted to get a Tom Niedenfuhr jersey to sing at the
Because
Dodgers.
He's a Cardinal fan,
Yeah, just to kind of troll the Dodgers, because the Cardinals got him that particular day. So just the fact that he remembers these odd statistical moments, we have some great conversations about, you know.
That's just funny. I didn't really realize you... That was your thing too. We drove around the Western United States, and he was giving we were like comparing notes about the Niedenfuhr thing and all these different players, and then Bill Buckner and all that.
Buckner was a great player for the Dodgers for years, and then Red Sox. You know, that was what he's most known for.
That's sad. And it is. One bad play.
I mean, he was like a 300 career hitter, first baseman, outfielder, and a really good player. You know, just a good solid. You know, more than an average common, as they would call him.
Common, that's funny. But, Jack gets to play his guitar.
Oh, how cool.
He couldn't play his guitar at Dodger Stadium.
Uh-huh.
And he told me that he feels kind of naked without his guitar.
Right.
And you guys, I don't know anything about it, but you guys got to hold a guitar to feel wholesome?
Probably a lot to do with just what to do with my hands. You know, do I put them here, hold them in front, can't put them in your pockets, put them behind, you think, I could get arrested, because they're already halfway there.
So Jed Motley texted us a little while ago. You text Pam first.
Uh-huh.
She says, Jack's singing the national anthem.
Mm-hmm.
And then I didn't know he texted Pam. So he texts me. I'm waiting in the doctor's office a couple hours ago. He goes, Jack's singing the national anthem. I said, don't text me, text Pam.
Yeah.
She runs the show.
Right.
Again, people, that's how I stay married. She has control of everything. I hate to use the word pussy whipped. I am. But I do what I'm told. She pays the bill. She does everything.
Happy wife, happy life.
She gives me an allowance kind of thing. I just, you know, whatever. So he goes, I already talked to Pam.
Yeah.
She wants to go. I said, okay, if she wants to go, we can.
Cool.
She's inviting her family. But we went and saw them at Dodger Stadium with my buddy Kevin.
Yeah.
And he sat in his seats, which is right down there in the...
Very nice.
Yeah, the real seats. I go, okay, Pam, we'll drive to Anaheim. Okay, it's going to cost you $400. You better off just have them feed the kid to your house and give him a $400 tip.
Mm-hmm.
But anyway, we'll go to the game. They're playing the Guardians.
Oh, okay.
And my wife goes, well, she did that... Oh, okay. What? She didn't say the bat. What the F is are the Guardians?
Right.
Used to be Cleveland.
Cleveland Indians.
I know. And she went, Cleveland? I don't know if I know them. I go, exactly.
Yeah.
They went to World Series once, or recently, I think. I don't know.
Yeah.
A couple, 10 years ago.
About 5 or 6 years ago. Now they played the Cubs, you know, and a lot of people were like, oh, the Cubs haven't won in so long. I go, slow down. Cleveland hasn't won a lot either. You know, this is an opportunity. And then I have a friend who wanted to see the Cubs in the World Series. He ended up scalping tickets in Cleveland.
Oh, really? And okay. Well, yes.
Here we are, just using a bad term again, scalping.
I've got to go. You can't have the Guardians. You have the Guardians. You can't have the Indians if you talk about scalping.
I know.
How do you scalp a ticket for the Guardians?
So un-PC, but I'm Cherokee. I can sort of get away.
You are. You can get away this one.
But the Guardians is just a silly name. You know, even like after the Washington football team, I was calling the Cleveland baseball team at this point. We're used to that now, you know.
The Indian management wouldn't have the goofy logo.
Right.
And all the stuff, it would have been fine.
Yeah.
I'm assuming. Yeah, the Kansas City Chiefs just won a Super Bowl.
They sure did.
And they do that stupid doo-doo-doo-doo.
Yeah, the most Caucasian, you know, fan base in America, maybe next to Buffalo.
I was saying Buffalo. You go ahead.
And, you know, it's like, okay.
It's so funny. We can't do anything. Yeah, I lost my train of thought, but about Guardians.
Chief Wahoo was the logo
Wahoo.
The Cleveland Indians used. That was the guy.
It's funny, we got the tangent about Indians. My daughter, Katie, I hope no one listens to this show because she doesn't really announce it. She's like 8 weeks pregnant for the second baby.
Okay.
So she had
gender reveal?
No, they didn't know yet. She
okay.
Had the x-ray. I don't pay attention. Yeah, the ultrasound.
Ultrasound, yeah.
So she sent, we have the family group text.
Yeah.
Which is terrible. Two husbands, two wives, two grandparents on the text.
Yeah.
You have to do thumbs up, thumbs down, or do something. You can't ignore it, or you're a dick.
Of course.
So she sent a picture of this little button in her belly, and said, that's the baby up top.
Uh-huh.
And it's due October 15th.
All right.
And I'm just pulling that out of my ear, because it's a Tuesday, October 15th, 14th, or 15th. And I said, well, here's my money. I'm going to bet a day early. It's on Indigenous People's Day,
uh-huh.
Columbus Day.
Yeah, yeah.
I said, if it's on Indigenous People's Day, it's going to be a girl. I know they want a boy.
Uh-huh.
My son-in-law wants a boy. I said, you could have a girl named Pocahontas.
Uh-huh.
And they, that's a big thumbs down.
Oh.
And he goes, no, I want a boy. I said, Geronimo.
There you go.
Why not? But I'd just be funny.
Yeah.
In my mind. Sometimes it's not funny. I was out of line for saying Pocahontas. No, we're not naming her Pocahontas. Anyway, just Cleveland Pocahontas. That'd be fun.
Yeah, why not?
You know, it's back to Cleveland. I think I got to go there. I've had like multiple people tell me it's a great city to go to.
That's what a lot of people said. I mean, they've done a lot of renovation. The football team, that stadium's pretty old. They were playing in that when the old Browns, who are now the Baltimore Ravens, moved mm-hmm. to Baltimore, and then the current Browns are actually an expansion team but kept
right.
the name. But the new Guardians Field is pretty nice. I think it's Progressive Field or...
No, I don't know. The Mistake in the Lake is all I got.
I remember the old NFL films that
yeah.
show the lake burning, and you're like,
oh, yeah.
God, we're just polluting our planet.
That ship has sailed.
I know. Now in the 70s. Just,
what's funny about geography now or cities, we went to Milwaukee
yeah.
a number of years ago,
mm-hmm.
and... If I told you, you won a prize, I've taken you to Milwaukee, you'd think you lost. But once you get there, it's one of the coolest cities, and I've been around the world.
Yeah.
It's one of the coolest cities in America.
I think so.
Yeah.
Happy right. Days supposedly took place in Milwaukee.
Happy
You're
Days.
Always like, where was this? Like Milwaukee, Wisconsin.
They have hash browns with cheese in the middle.
Oh, they know how to eat.
Juicy Lucy. Well, look at them.
Yeah.
We didn't get into the baseball field. We drove by it.
Uh-huh.
And, you know, the Packers used to play there in Milwaukee.
A couple games a year, yeah.
And anyway, they have the Germantown and everything.
Yeah.
It's really great. But I'm thinking Cleveland's the same way. The Rock and Roll Hall of Fame.
Yeah.
The Browns. You got the Guardians. I just want to puke the Guardians.
I know,
it's so bad.
Really bad name. And the Commanders isn't much better name. You know, that's like, you know, we could have just like.
Who are the Washington Commanders.
Let this go. And like, you know, it created a big hullabaloo in the sense. I'm like, you know. Looking back, we should have just left it all alone.
The fans made it offensive.
Yeah.
The team name wasn't. I mean, I don't think, but you know what? I'm not a Redskin.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm just a good old-fashioned white guy, nothing offends me anymore. But it's just amazing. It's funny. One more couple quick stories. My sister went and saw Smokey Robinson.
Okay, I think I saw those photos really briefly this morning before
yeah,
the Facebook outage.
Yeah, in Pechanga.
And then Facebook went out.
Oh, I did, this, I did, really did? Okay.
Yeah, you were lucky you were at the gym.
So well, somebody hacked my wife again, so I've got to worry. Anyway,
okay.
He's 84 years old.
That's pretty amazing.
And I told her, go look at our Facebook page.
Yeah.
I said, you know, I went. My mom took me to see Smokey Robinson, I think in 1969 or
uh-huh.
something. At Greek Theater.
That's great.
And I don't remember who else was playing, but my mom and her hairdresser friend that lived with us, we went to see Smokey Robinson. And
that's
I couldn't
really cool.
care less. It was good, though. It was really good. And Anyway, I forgot all about it until my sister put on there that she saw Smokey Robinson. And I told her on Facebook, well, I went and saw him. And she went, well, Mom took you everywhere. Didn't take me anywhere. I go, if I was 16, you were six.
Yeah, you weren't old enough for Smokey.
Yeah, so, but now he's still playing 84?
Yeah.
I'm going to be probably ashes when I'm 80. I'm not going to make 84. Anyway, but he should put a video. He's still out there kind of, he's not
moving,
dancing like, he's not like he's in a Super Bowl halftime show.
Yeah.
But all those great, he had great songs.
He did.
Had great songs. It was just really cool.
You know, a couple years ago, a friend of mine posted on Facebook. He goes, I was coming home on the 101 and, traffic was stopped and then somebody tapped into the back of me. So I got out of my car all ready to, you know, chew this guy out. And it's Smokey Robinson. So he ends up taking a selfie, you know, with Smokey. He probably didn't even bother doing the insurance exchange thing.
No way. You get,
you know,
a picture.
It's like, come on. It's Smokey. What's he, you know, it's like, you know, how bad could that
pretty
be?
Amazing.
Of all people to get rear-ended by Smokey Robinson.
You know, that'd be a whole hour discussion. Old white guys like me can't stand rap and all that stuff. I can't stand the Super Bowl halftime show.
Yeah, but the R&B guys are like,
but
a different level.
Back in those
level.
Days.
Yeah.
All that Motown stuff.
So good.
We're all humming it all the time.
Yeah.
So I guess we're not a bunch of racists. We just liked it back then.
Yeah.
We have one more thing.
Okay.
I know my buddy Jeff listens to this show. You better be listening.
Right.
We're talking about music, going to old Hollahan's and these various bars. Back somewhere in 21, so.
Mm-hmm.
Or older. There was a bar in Manhattan Beach called the Buccaneer.
Oh, okay.
And
I've heard of that place.
I've always, you know, I gravitate to, I can't play music. I can't, mm-hmm. I don't know anything about music. I have no idea. I have a guitar and I have a piano. I can't play it. But we went and saw these bands all the time. A place called the Buccaneer down by Shellback's.
Uh huh.
And some band played there all the time. We kind of adopted them. We even drove to Pasadena to see them. And so, I don't remember the band. I know the guy's listening, so if you think about the name of the band, I'm going to Google it and see if these guys are still alive. They played Crosby, Stills, Nash, and Young, like Helplessly Hoping and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
Really good band. But, you know, I've been trying to follow bands all these time before Feed the Kitty or Pet Project.
Yeah.
Or five Long Years.
It's there you go.
Yeah, I got 5 Long Years. But if you think about it, text me. I want to find the name of this band. But it's from Manhattan Beach in the 70s.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, all these cities have changed. Everything, the Buccaneers now, it's a Skechers or something else. It's down there.
Probably a Jamba Juice.
I think it went to Skechers. I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't go there anymore. It's just too much. Remember, when I was young, Pier Avenue was where the debris meets the sea.
Yeah.
In Manhattan Beach, I couldn't afford it because the drugs are very expensive in Manhattan Beach. They still are, I'm
right.
sure. But I always seem to latch on to a band.
Uh-huh.
And my daughter said, yeah, we have this obsession with Feed the Kitty or whatever. And I go, I think Feed the Kitty may be gone because of Pet Project.
Pet Project?
Yeah, they're pretty damn good. They were in Vegas.
Mm-hmm.
At the Whiskey a Go-Go,
mm-hmm.
said, here's what this is nothing, I'm on the air anyway. I said, Matthew, at the Whiskey a Go-Go, you were like James Taylor leading a band.
Right.
At the, in Vegas, you were like Jim Morrison.
Okay.
Leading the band.
Yeah.
And in Hermosa Beach the other night, there were a lot of people there.
Mm-hmm.
And I noticed, my wife thinks I'm freaky, but I said, there's all these like random women. And they weren't all cougars.
Right.
And they're all young people. In fact, we're the oldest people in the bar at Hermosa Beach.
Uh-huh.
They're all videoing, taking. And sorry, Jed, you weren't in it. Or Jack. It was all Matthew.
Right.
So they've grown and learned and all this stuff. And so maybe they have a shot. You never know. But one more thing. I saw on TV today, there's a special about the Viper Room.
Oh, okay.
And you've been there.
Yeah.
I saw Feed the Kitty there.
Yeah.
But they said, do not consider it all about River Phoenix.
Right.
They were showing all these pictures of Johnny Depp and stuff like that, but I'm not going back again unless I know somebody. But
they used to have, apparently, underground poker used to happen. There's like a number of well-known actors that used to play. Ben Affleck, the guy who played Spider-Man, a couple others.
Really?
Used to go there like on Tuesday nights, and it was kind of closed except for them. And then they had a table set up, a dealer.
Yeah, I never got invited.
Full-on poker game.
It's a good thing. I don't play poker.
Yeah.
I was told by an old lady in Gardena, really.
Oh, like, I remember that story.
30 years ago.
Yeah.
Do not play, not even in the garage with your friends.
Yeah.
She goes, you're a crappy poker player. She took $200 from me.
Uh-huh.
You can't play poker. You don't like to fold. You never fold
because
you like the action.
Right.
I said, yeah, I know. Not bad. I have a poker table in my house.
We got to get a poker game set up.
But I don't play hold'em. I play the game. You know, I have two wild cards.
Uh-huh.
The card in your forehead. You got to pass the trash.
My personal favorite is seven card stud.
I like seven card high low split because even the shitty hand can win.
And that's where you get in trouble is the high-low splits, because that's where the real pros, they get you when you're looking at one thing, they get you on the other.
But the only thing they play anymore in Vegas or whatever is
yeah,
to
Texas Hold'em. That's what a lot of people just assume is, we used to do draw poker, five-card stud, seven-card stud.
You want to get three or four guys to play with. I have a real poker table.
Uh-huh.
I mean, the chip holders, it's felt.
Okay.
It's a real live poker table in my bar.
We should get a poker game going.
We did. The last one I had, my wife got mad because guys fired up cigars. And the next morning, it was like chips everywhere, spilled booze.
The dog playing poker came to life. It smelled like five dogs had been up.
smelled like dog shit. All right. I got to go home.
All right.
Let's get out of here. Okay, boys, ladies and gentlemen, we'll see you next week.
See you next week.
But in the end, there's just no place like home. Redondo Beach. Woo! One hell of a city.